Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, Dee, you are back.
I am. Did you miss me last time?
I did. I know that you finished your retreat. We'll talk about the retreat a little bit later. But we couldn't get you in for the end of the show, and I had to carry the whole load myself.
Oh, poor Tom.
Yes. Well... I'm glad that you are back with us, Dee. You know, people who listen to Catholic Vitamins listen because of the lovely and charming Dee, and they put up with the deacon. Nice to be back on Catholic Vitamins. This is show number...
434.
Who does 434 shows? Really?
I know a few people who've done way more than
that. I know, but I mean, you mean to tell me we've been doing this foolishness for 433 times?
We've been doing it for 10 years.
Wow. Oh, that's right. We are now in our 10th
yes.
year of doing Catholic Vitamins, and we know one or two people who said they've been with us all this time. That doesn't mean that they've listened to every podcast or episode, but, you know, we do hear from people who've been with us a long time, and that's such a gift to us. And we hope that our guests, not Tom and Dee, but that the guests are a gift to you in your faith walk.
And since this also appears in the ears of people listening to our local radio station, which is...
KPIH 98.9 RIM Catholic Radio.
It is episode 82 there.
Can you believe that we've done that?
That's amazing, too.
It really, really is.
And this is Catholic Vitamin M... for mothering.
Well, that's perhaps an unusual word, and why would there be a vitamin to nourish the faith from A to Z? And that relates to our guest on this show. Her name is Debbie Herbeck, H-E-R-B-E-C-K. She's the wife of the co-founder of Renewal Ministries. Her husband works with Ralph Martin and...
Peter.
Peter, yes, exactly. Thank you. Yes, you could tell I was stumbling a little bit to pull that up.
And I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah, I listen to the Renewal Ministries, or I read their columns, and we get their newsletter. I really respect the organization highly. Well, Debbie Herbeck, for the past 30 years, has worked extensively in youth and women's ministry. She is a co-founder and leader of the Be Love Revolution. Be, like B-E, Be Love Revolution.
Interesting title.
Yeah, a movement dedicated to helping young women encounter and be God's love in the world. And Debbie happens to be the director of the Pine Hills Girls Camp. And you're going to have to find out what all that's about when we do our interview with her. I found some things on the World Wide Web about Debbie and her work with young people. And in a way, she's mothering them. That kind of led us to the vitamin choice. And I'm just so impressed with the work that she's doing.
So what have we done in 2 weeks since I have not been here?
Well, let's just do some of our gentle, normal prattle that we do. We've been praying hard for our good friend Jim Bridges, the husband of the dynamic duo Bridges up in Pine, Arizona. And Jim has been quite ill.
So he ended up going into the hospital the day that I finished my retreat.
Yeah.
And he was in for about 4 days, I think.
Really, really rough. He had all kinds of doctors working on him. And
we were praying for him big time. And he's home now. He's getting stronger, feeling better, eating.
He lost a lot of weight when he was...
Yeah, he did.
You know, yeah. So thank you, dear Lord God, for the gift of a positive response to our prayers when it is your will to do so.
We also had two grandchildren have birthdays this month. That's fun.
Yeah, it is.
Even unfortunately, we couldn't be where either of them are.
I just love our grandchildren, particularly when they're young. I mean, when they get to be teenagers, they have their own life and style and things. And
so our sweet Charlotte turned 4 years old.
Oh.
She's in Indiana. And then our Carlin, who's 14 now.
Oh my gosh.
14. She's in Missouri.
So
we couldn't see either one of them for their birthdays.
We sent them both something and let them know of our love. And Carlin is at that age where, of course, she texts and all that, and she immediately sent love back to us. Yeah. Nice to hear from the kids. Do we have any other sort of local items?
No, you put them down here about routines. What's that mean?
Oh, I was thinking about that this morning earlier as we were doing a little planning for this Catholic Vitamin show, and you know, what does it matter except that we have our routines that we do. Now, not talking about faith-oriented things, but you and I have a routine every Saturday morning. We go to morning mass, and after mass, we go to the local, to call it an airport restaurant. Is a little, no, I guess it's a small.
Cafe. A cafe.
Yeah,
it's
a little
an airport cafe.
And we have our regular meal that you and I enjoy.
We split it.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of food.
And today we had a cranberry orange muffin along with...
Oh, that was good.
Boy, was it ever. And that's part of our routines outside of faith practice. Once again, we have other things that we do. And I was just wondering as I wrote the words down, our routines, what the routines of other people are. Do you have something that you do on the weekend regularly? Do you sleep in, catch up on your sleep from the week of activity? Do you try to get out on Saturday night? Do you have a date night that you do? That'd be fun to hear.
Our date days.
That's Saturday. Saturday. That's
Saturday's our date day. Oh, I see. I see. Oh, you're getting out of that one easy.
Dear friends, this is Catholic Vitamins, and we'll be back.
When considering a storyteller for your next event, consider a storyteller that can motivate with real-world experience. Consider a storyteller that can use everyday situations to illustrate the extraordinary things human nature can produce.
A car hits a kid on a motorcycle, throws him off the cycle. He's been up underneath the motorcycle, and the car just goes off. And then cars are just going around him. So I pull off into the furniture store there. And I rush to him, and as I'm rushing to him, a girl in a real funky outfit with purple hair grabbed him and drug him to safety on the Devil's Strip. And as I tried to attend to his wound, his hand was mangled, and I tried to attend to it, another woman had called the ambulance. This girl with purple hair talked to him. She calmed him. She made him feel like he was important. She did all of these things to help him. And then the paramedics came and they took him. And I had a chance to talk with the girl in purple hair. And I said to you, I was really impressed with what you did. And she says, I understand what it's like to have people ignore you. I understand what it's like for people to treat you differently because of a tattoo or a purple hair.
With two best-selling books and a third just released, Tony Agnese can relate to an audience that's looking to lift themselves to a new level through practice, faith, and action.
The couple that that has an autistic child usually is the couple that's raising money for autism. The guy out on the bridge giving a homeless man a pair of boots. He might have been homeless himself at one time. The family bringing food to a needy family at Christmas do that because they're paying forward for something that happened to them previously. And so what we see are people who have turned their hard times that the Lord has sustained them through those hard times. And then they've taken those hard times and turned it into a ministry, a mission for the glory of God.
So when you're ready for a storyteller's perspective on faith, mission, and action, consider a guy who literally wrote the book on the topic. Consider Tony Agnese.
Well, Dee, do you know why we put in Tony Agnese in our little break period?
Well, I would guess because he's going to be the guest on our next show.
We're very, very blessed. It's kind of unusual that we were able to arrange time where we could meet with Tony Agnese, and we've done an interview with him. He's going to be our guest on the next Catholic Vitamins. I'm so looking forward to sharing that with our World Wide Web audience, excuse me, and of course on our KPIH local Catholic radio station. He is a voice for helping people to feel better about the world, about the faith, about the gifts of the Lord God, about the Catholic Church. And he has written two books, the third just out. And Dee, I'm really looking forward to doing that. Tony Agnese will be a great gift to Catholic Vitamins in a couple of weeks. Meanwhile, talking about doing good works, we have hired a young lady for work at our radio station, KPIH. Her name is Pam Newman, and people who are listening to this in Ohio or whatever might wonder why we would mention something about hiring a young lady for our local radio station. And one of the things that we came up with for her is a little segment on Catholic radio called Pam Promotes Payson. Payson is the town that we live in. And Pam helped give me this idea when she introduced me to somebody at a local coffee shop, a mother who was working there part-time. But Pam told me that she did good for other people. When somebody was having a financial difficulties, she would try to raise things for them. She would cook meals for people that were struggling financially. She baked things for other people's events in town. Just a lovely Christian woman. I don't know what her faith walk is. And Pam knew her. And so we are honoring her for the first month of Pam Promotes Payson.
You know how that we always say, We look for stories down the pew.
Yes.
Well, this is like stories from our community.
Thank you. Yeah, good point for sure. So local listeners to KPIH, each day I think there'll be a recorded Pam Promotes Payson. And I'll try to get one or two of her plugs and put them on Catholic Vitamins just so that our World Wide Web listeners can hear this and know what we're doing in our community. Pam has also been involved in other good work in town previously, toys for tots for Christmas, and I guess she was involved in a backpack project. Remember, we were over at the Verizon store?
Right, right.
And we found out that she was helping to promote the fact that the Verizon store was donating 200 backpacks filled with school supplies. Pam was involved in promoting that. So, a dear lady, Pam, thank you for joining KPIH, and we hope to inspire others in the community.
And with her skills and her contacts around town, she's bringing in some underwriters for us, too.
Yeah, she found two underwriters who wanted to join us, and maybe we'll give them a little plug a little bit later. We are a nonprofit organization, but we're happy to promote those
who can't do advertising, but we can do
underwriting.
Have people sponsor programs and things like that.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take another break, and then we're going to be back with our guest, Debbie Herbig.
Hello, I'm Kendra Von Esch. Do you have complete trust in God? Sometimes it's hard, especially in the bad times, right? But those who have had an encounter with Jesus know something has changed, and their lives will never be the same. But that's where evil begins to fight for our souls, because Satan wants us back in his slimy grips. He tempts us to commit sins and puts doubts in our minds, like questioning God's love for us in the trials. When this happens, let's look up to Jesus, nailed on the cross, filled in agonizing pain from his head to his feet, covered in blood, and look into his eyes, which gazed down at us lovingly. Let's ask him to pour out his precious blood and protect us, and to have more faith in him, so that we can imitate his trust in the Father, who always knows best. For more inspiration, go to KendraVonEsch.com.
Well, that reflection is from our good friend, Kendra Von Esch. Thank you for sharing things with Catholic Vitamins from time to time and for sharing things for our local Catholic radio station. Our time for our guest interview with Debbie Herbeck is coming up. She'll be with us in just a moment. I found something that was a blog column from the 2016 Rejoice Women's Retreat that was held in Indiana. Debbie Herbeck was the featured speaker at the conference, and she shared her conversion story from Judaism to Catholicism. She spoke about how her experience to show just how merciful God has been in her own life. And she told retreat participants, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more, and there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. A major theme of the retreat was the recognition of the role of each woman as a beloved daughter of God. Using humor and the power of story, Debbie shared her discovery of Catholicism as a Jewish woman with examples of things that the church got from us, referring to the Jewish faith. And we are definitely grafted onto the Jewish faith. She acknowledged the difficulty that her conversion had on her parents. I could just imagine, and this will come up during our interview. And Debbie said that she sees herself today as a Jewish Catholic, and that she hasn't abandoned her faith, but through the sacraments has enhanced it. So Debbie is a wonderful model, not only as a beloved daughter of God, but as a daughter of God to be mother to others. And that's what she's doing in her ministry these days. We'll get into all of that in the interview. So we'll take a short musical break, and we'll be back with our guest, Debbie Herbeck. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, although I'm straining this morning to use my weak vocal cords, I'm on the phone with Debbie Herbeck. Debbie is in Michigan, and I have read some of her writings, and I've seen some of her work with young people, and I've been very touched by her work and reached out to her. She graciously consented to come on Catholic Vitamins. Debbie, excuse my voice. Welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thank you. Well, a lot of people might not know your name yet, and we've been fans of Renewal Ministries for a lot of years. We're supporters of the organization, and our Catholic radio station carries the choices we face. But you may be a new name. I'd like to start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about your youth and your early faith journey.
Yes, well, I have kind of a different story to tell. I grew up in a Jewish home on the north side of Chicago, and I grew up really without knowing anything about Jesus. I grew up in a very conservative Jewish home and was really surrounded by Jewish people, Jewish friends, Jewish neighbors, Jewish school, and really did not have, intentionally so, very much exposure to Christianity. And so I really grew up with a, you know, very firm understanding of my identity as a Jew, but did not know anything about really who Jesus was, what his life was all about, what his teachings were. And it really wasn't until I was a sophomore in high school, my family went through a tragedy of losing my older brother, who was 17 at the time, in a very tragic and violent car accident, when I began to really question the existence of God and the relevance of God in my own life, and really began searching for meaning and for answers, and didn't find it the way I was hoping to within my own Jewish cultural identity, and went off to the University of Michigan and really began searching for God in a lot of different ways. My first roommate at Michigan was a Catholic girl, and so it was my first exposure to anyone who was, you know, believed differently than I did. And really through my exposure to my relationship with her as my roommate and other girls on the hall, friendships with them, God slowly began to work in my life and reveal himself to me.
So how did you come to know Christ?
Well, I think a lot of different things happened, and I realize now there were probably a lot of people, some of those Christian girls actually praying for me, but a few different things happened in my life. I was invited about halfway through, almost to the end of my freshman year, to take a study break with some of these Christian girls, who, by the way, were tremendous witnesses to me of just what it meant to be authentic and to believe in their faith. But I never really had an in-depth conversation with any of them. They were probably being sensitive to the fact that I was a Jew as to what Jesus actually taught and who Jesus was. And so I was invited by one of the girls to take a study break and watch a movie that was being shown on TV that night. And the name of the movie was Jesus of Nazareth. This was in the mid 70s and late 70s. And I sat down, and my first thought as the movie began to unfold was that I shouldn't be there because it was something that was forbidden by my grandparents. And then the second thought came to me as I watched the movie, and that was that Jesus was a Jew. And I really had never known that, and it totally changed my perspective on what I was watching, because as I began to watch it as something that was forbidden, and as I began to watch it and realize he was Jewish, I felt this incredible, I just felt drawn to him, and I felt like we were part of the same family, and I began to see him, and this is, you know, a Hollywood version of the gospel stories, but I began to see in Jesus the person and that I wanted to be, that I knew I couldn't be on my own power and my own strength. And the movie was being shown in two parts, and so at the very end of the first night, there's a scene where Jesus comes to a town, and he's met at the edge of this town by a woman who is weeping because her brother has died. And she says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." And I felt in a very strange way that those were the same words I had spoken to God when my brother had died.
Sure.
Where are you, God? Why didn't you save his life? And so very painfully, I watched as Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, and incredibly raises him from the dead. And I remember watching this and thinking, is this man Jesus the Messiah? Could he be the one that the scriptures talk about? Does he have a power over death? And so I went back to my room that night, and I couldn't sleep. And I went down to one of my friend's rooms, one of the Christian girls, and knocked on her door. And she opened her door and just handed me her Bible. And I went back to my room, and that night, for the first time, I read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And really got down on my knees and just prayed and said, "God, I don't know who you are, if you're real, but if Jesus is the Messiah, please show me and give me the faith to believe." And that sent me on a 9-month journey of reading the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament, looking at messianic prophecies, praying that prayer every single night before I went to bed, and through a series of very powerful dreams and a real vision or encounter of Jesus in my dorm room, I really came to believe that he was the Messiah through the gift of faith, and that he had a call on my life to really follow him. So that's the short version. But,
beautiful, absolutely.
Very dramatic and very intense.
Very, very, very beautiful. And before I get into your husband and Renewal Ministries, Debbie, I tried to do some research to get ready for our time today, and you are a lovely, lovely writer as well as a speaker and evangelist. Thank you. And I found something that I'd like to share with our audience because it also relates to death, and it made me very verklempt, respectfully said, it made me very tender. Here's a writing from Debbie. A few years ago, as he lay dying in and out of consciousness, my twin sister and I went to him, your father. And for one final time, he was waiting for us. As we approached his bedside, he called out in a loud, strong, excited voice to my mother, who had died from cancer 4 years earlier. Your dad said, "Carol, the girls are here. Debbie and Dana are home." And once again, a familiar scene was reenacted in my mind, my dad waiting in the den for the front door to open, and then calling to my mom upstairs to announce my arrival. And even as he took his last breath, he was waiting for me, so that now at last he could go home to his heavenly father who was waiting for him. So I'm getting emotional just reading that, but apparently death has been important and effective in your faith journey, but also in your witness to others.
Yeah, I think so. I had lost both my parents at what I think was a relatively young age for each of them. My mom was diagnosed with cancer on her 75th birthday and was given 6 weeks to live, and lived out those 6 weeks, probably the most beautiful time that I had with her. Tremendous healing in our relationship, which had been quite strained because of my own conversion. And I think my mom found some of the peace that she had been really looking for her whole life. And I had the tremendous privilege with my brother and my sister of being at my mom's bedside as she was dying. And they both my siblings turned to me and asked if I would lead all of us in a prayer. So in Hebrew, I was able to pray that, you know, Psalm 23 with my mom and with my siblings together. And, really kind of usher my mom to that door, which was such a beautiful thing. And then, you know, 4 years later, my father passed away too, quite suddenly, and again was able to be with him in that moment again. And so, you know, really the thing the Lord has been speaking in my heart as I walk through that with my parents is that Christ is the answer. He really is. And he is the conqueror of death, over death, and to be able to walk with my parents in something that was so hopeful after being with them through, you know, my brother's death and other tragic things in our family. And I still pray for them every single day, pray for God's mercy on their souls, and that God is doing his work in them to get, you know, prepare them to meet him eventually. So, the Lord has used what began as a real fear of death, turned it into a real ability to see death as a friend and see death as something that we're all headed toward, you know?
Well, we have some good things to cover here. How did you and your husband come together? Let's do a little bit of that.
Great question. After I graduated from college, so I had my conversion, the beginning of my sophomore year in college, and after I graduated from the University of Michigan, I was involved in campus ministry there and decided to begin some graduate work and stay at the University of Michigan and was doing full-time evangelization on campus. And Peter had just left the seminary and had moved to Ann Arbor to do ministry as well, and we ended up working together in a particular dormitory doing campus ministry. And at that time, we were both kind of I wasn't even Catholic yet, but both discerning our vocation, which is a very Catholic way of saying it, but I was really trying to decide, God, what are you calling me to? And was living, you know, as a living and consecrated life to really be able to discern God's call. Peter was still discerning that. We met and began to kind of minister together as friends. And I think at the end of a year or so of doing that, we both independently felt called into marriage and just began to pursue a deeper relationship with one another. And so I'd say, you know, one of the beautiful things about the beginning of our friendship was it was really founded very deeply in our own personal relationships with Christ and a real call to the mission of the church. And so that's been foundational in our life together as a married couple as well. And also a real a sense of a calling as Jew and Gentile to really have our married life and the life of our family reflect the call of Jews and Gentiles together. So Peter was very instrumental in me coming into the Catholic Church and the Lord using my relationship with him. But we've also been able to really live out our married life and teach our children what it means to be Messianic Jewish Catholics, which is a mouthful, but basically, according to Jewish law, my children are Jewish because it comes through the mother's line, but they've also been raised as Catholics, and now not only are they, you know, do they come into the church through the sacraments, they also have very authentic and genuine faith in Christ and have a living relationship with him. So that's been a beautiful thing for Peter and I to be able to share with our children, is to really to kind of create a home life of faith that helps them understand that Jesus is the Messiah and everything that the Jewish people believe in and have followed is really fulfilled in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. What size family do you have now, Debbie?
We have four children, two boys and two girls, and ages from my daughter, Sarah, is 31, and my and then we have 31, 30, 27, and 24.
Mm-hmm.
And three of the four are married, and we have seven grandchildren, little ones.
Beautiful family, absolutely beautiful. Debbie, the reason that I reached out to you had to do with young people and reaching young people. But before we move directly into that, would you do a sort of a flyover of Renewal Ministries for anybody on the World Wide Web that might hear this and just not happen to be familiar?
Sure, I'll do my best. Renewal Ministries, we are just getting ready to celebrate our 40th anniversary, and that began before I was even kind of involved with Renewal, Peter and I. But Ralph Martin is the founder of Renewal Ministries, and really the emphasis and the mission of Renewal is really to bring renewal and evangelization to the Catholic Church. So really to help Catholics come alive in their faith, to realize that they can and need to have a personal relationship with Christ. And so the mission of Renewal Ministries and the way that gets expressed is very broad, ranges from television show, The Choices We Face, which is the longest running Catholic television show still on the air that Peter and Ralph co-host together. And then Peter has a daily radio show. Sister Ann Shields has a daily radio show. And then we have, you know, books and products that are available for people all over the world. And then there's the mission element of it, which is doing mission work in over 30 countries. That we've had ongoing relationship with, doing teaching and training, empowerment to lay people, to priests, to religious, just trying to really equip and empower those within the Catholic Church to really live the call to be a disciple.
Wow. The scope of that is so beautiful, so impressive. And I was blessed to meet Ralph Martin at Franciscan University when I was there for a priest-deacon retreat, and he was a speaker, mm-hmm. guest speaker. He graciously gave us some time to do a short interview on Catholic Vitamins, and we've been so much a supporter of the organization in the humble ways that we can be, that we brought it over to our Catholic radio station, and it's on three times a week. here in North Central Arizona. But as I said, I reached out to you because I know that you've been working with young people, and I've been a deacon, thanks be to God, 15 and a half years. And one of the areas that the church has just not been, broadly speaking, real successful with is reaching and keeping young people Sad to say that confirmation is sometimes seen as a graduation from the church. And there are just so many stories that I've seen and witnessed in that genre. How did you get started with young people, and what are you doing?
Great question. This is, like, I think the thing I'm most passionate about. And reflecting back, doing youth ministry really for almost 40 years now, I think because I had real challenges in my own youth. It's almost like the Lord's allowing me to kind of redeem some of that as I work with young people, and just giving me a real heart for it. So I, since my conversion, really been doing, you know, campus ministry. And then Peter and I, when we were first married, did high school ministry together. And that's something that God really gave me a passion for. I began to, when we were first married and, you know, began to have children right away, the Lord really put a call in me to develop a culture or an environment where especially young women could really meet the Lord and meet other young women who are really living their faith, and kind of create a culture where the peer pressure was really flowing towards the Lord rather than away from the Lord. And so we created a camp called Pine Hills Camp for junior high age boys and girls, separate. And I began to take on doing the girls' camp, and really just, you know, over the years, last third, we just had a camp that was my 34th year, I think, of directing the camp, of really creating a culture. And it takes time to create a culture. It's not a program. It's not primarily catechetical or informational. It's an environment and a culture where young women can really meet Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, but really feel totally accepted and safe and secure to just be, to walk freely in who God's created them to be. And that's a journey, because nobody figures that out overnight. But so I think that the secret here, and we've in the last 5 or 6 years have expanded that camp ministry and the culture to high school girls. So, but the key is mentorship and discipleship. It's walking with these young people throughout the course of their daily lives, their ups and downs, their struggles, the things that challenge their faith, the challenges of the culture, and to walk with them in a way that's very formative for them and gives them courage, really, to respond to the call that the Lord has on them, and then to become disciples themselves and teach them how to turn around and begin to walk with not only their peers but with younger girls as well. And so what we're seeing is just the fruit of a culture that's been alive for, you know, quite a number of years, where they just are very confident, and we're raising up leaders, we're raising up disciples, we're raising up young women who really have a clear sense, despite the culture around them, of who they are and who God's calling them to be. And I can honestly say, and I know you can attest to this, the culture in the last 5 years has gotten increasingly challenging, and it's just a more difficult place to really kind of live the faith. So I feel very, like, there's a real urgency, and, like, the church needs to step it up and get this right, and stop focusing so much on programs, which kids don't want to go to, and focus more on relationship with them.
All right, so let's just posit a young teenage girl, maybe a freshman or a sophomore in high school. She hears about Pine Hills Camp, and a couple other girls say, hey, you ought to go, hey, you ought to go, and she signs up. I don't know what the registration process is. What happens when a young girl goes to Pine Hills Camp the first time?
Okay, so this would be someone who's, like, just finishing 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, and the reason is we want to start capturing these girls at a young age. I mean, I think even, you know, we don't do a camp for 4th and 5th graders, but definitely we're doing more events for girls that are like 10 or 11 years old even, because the culture is going after girls that age. Mm-hmm. And there's such an identity crisis for them that we want to start working with moms and working with young girls to start giving them the message at a very early age: you are a daughter of God, you are loved, you are valued, you are enough. Because all they hear, you know, from the world around them and the media and the culture is something quite opposite. So somebody will come in as a 6th grader, sign up for a week-long camp, it's just a week, And in the course of that week, they will have an opportunity to be in an environment where 300 other young women, 200 of them campers, and 100 others who are counselors, high school and college age, who are really confident about who they are as young women, as daughters of God, and who are making Jesus number one in their lives. And they're able to be in an environment that's very loving and accepting and fun. So it gives them a concept that Christianity isn't just for us old people, but it really is for, you know, for them too. And just an environment where they feel like, wow, there's something here that's really different than the world around me. It's technology free. We don't have phones. We don't have technology present, because what we're doing is we're trying to put them in an environment where they're learning how to receive love and how to give love. Mm-hmm. You can't do that when you're primarily plugged into technology or a screen all day. So just the face-to-face, that kind of human interaction that they're receiving is such a beautiful thing. And so there's so many ways they're receiving the Lord's love, whether it's in a powerful time of praise and worship and being with the Lord, or just being loved by their counselors and their cabin mates. And so they want to come back to camp. You know, the registration opens and we have girls sign up at midnight that night, you know, just to get in. And then from there, once they've been a camper, they can come back as serving on one of the service teams and doing behind the scenes stuff. So right away, they're done with camp, and we're kind of sending them on mission to say, you have a way, something that you can give back to the Lord and to God's people. Come and be on mission with us. Be on leadership at this camp. Have a way for you to, raise up other young girls. And then we have weekly events and activities for these girls in high school, worship nights, women's groups, Bible studies, things that they can do to continue to grow in their faith, mission trips. And so at every level, every single girl that's involved with Be Love Revolution, whether it's through camp or through our high school program, is being cared for and being discipled and mentored one-on-one and trained to really be a leader and to really serve the broader church.
So you mentioned a name that went by fairly quickly, Debbie, Be Love. What is that?
Be Love Revolution is the name of the ministry for high school girls, and that really grew out of just the camp experience. About 6 years ago, we were all together at camp, and we were at a very beautiful camp site. And one of the things we do is we set up a big, like almost like a big circus tent, 100-foot circus tent, where we have all of our worship time and time to gather all the girls together. We were just ending a year of camp, and I just looked out and saw all these like beautiful young women who were just really falling in love with Jesus and experiencing so much love for one another. And I clearly sensed the Lord saying to me, if each one of these young women goes out with the love of Christ in their heart and touches one other young person, we could start a revolution of love. And I firmly believe that. Mother Teresa's been a huge impact on my life. I had an opportunity to meet her years ago, and really her ministry of presence, her ministry of like loving the person right in front of you and the ripple effect that had. You know, Mother said, if we had never gone out and picked up that one dying person on the street, we never would have picked up thousands afterwards. And so it's not about running big programs and big numbers. It's about really loving the person that God is giving you to love right in front of you and allowing them to experience the Lord's love so that then they can go out and love the person in front of them. And it really has a revolutionary effect on their lives. And the revolution part also reflects the fact that we have to be different than the world around us. We have to be in the world, but we can't be of it. And so we're really trying to challenge these girls to live in a way that's revolutionary, to pray daily, to, you know, partake of the sacraments daily, to really live a life of holiness and really strive to be a saint. And those are, for a high school student, that's kind of a revolutionary way to be. But young people want to be challenged. They want to be called on to really seek more than just themselves. And so we're trying to awaken that, I think, God-given desire in them to really want more and to seek after more.
Well, as we move to a close, God has done such a powerful work in what you're doing, but there's only one of you. has this idea reached other people with the same fervor that you have? And is there a chance that this is getting started in other parts of the country?
Absolutely. We have three chapters in different places right now who are trying to kind of, the women who have the same heart and understanding what we're trying to do, and they're building it in their own unique way within their parishes or dioceses. We've got other women interested in doing it as well. And part of the beautiful thing we're trying to do is create a movement, not particularly a ministry or program, so that when girls go through BeLove, even in our, you know, area of Michigan, and then we send them out to college and we send them out to a job as a young adult woman, they're carrying the mission of BeLove in their hearts, and they can do that wherever they are. And so we're trying to raise up like a small army of young women who have encountered the love of Christ, who really are trying to love those people God's giving them to love, who know what it means to be a disciple, and sending them out into the world to do the same thing. So, but it takes time, it takes patience, it's organic, it's not, doesn't happen overnight, but we're mm-hmm. seeing that happen, you know, young women going out and continuing to do, to give what they've received here. So, I'm very hopeful that, with the Lord's help and, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can continue to grow, whatever the Lord is doing with us.
If somebody wants to find out more, do you have some connectivity information you can share with our listeners?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, which is BeLoveRevolution.com, all one word. And also, we've got a link to Pine Hills Girls Camp on that as well. Got some videos and some photos that really give a sense of kind of who these girls are and what life looks like together. We've got, you know, our mission statement, what we're about and what we're doing, and any, you know, place to reach out to us as well. We're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, those places as well. So I think pretty easy to find if people are interested.
Debbie Herbeck, what a blessing to hear of your journey from the very early days and your faith walk and what the Lord has been doing in your life. Bless you, bless your husband, bless Renewal Ministries, and bless BeLove Ministries. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share about it and all the good work that you're doing. You'll definitely be in our prayers.
And you as well. God bless.
God bless you too.
Special thanks to Debbie Herbeck and all of the wonderful people at Renewal Ministries. I encourage any listener that hears this, if you're not familiar with them or not signed up with them, to please do so and listen to the choices we face, the longest running Catholic TV and radio program in the world, and it is heard around the world. They have some wonderful guests, and we're very blessed to have them on KPIH Rim Catholic Radio.
They produced a lot of DVDs and series and things that you can get to watch.
Yes, we did the...
we've done a few.
Well, you're right. Well, we teased a little bit earlier in the show that you participated in a retreat, the Axe Retreat for Women, and... I don't know. I hope I didn't push you too much, but how did the
retreat? I was glad I went. It was wonderful. You came back from yours, the men's retreat, and said it was one of the best retreats you've ever been on. Well, I think I could say that too.
Wonderful.
And this is probably the first long retreat I've been on, you know, long weekend retreat, overnight retreat that I've been on since we lived in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. I know that we're not allowed, allowed is not the right word, but we're encouraged not to talk too much about what goes on inside an Acts retreat. But maybe you could share some of the personal feelings you had going through the retreat.
Well, first I was impressed with the amount of planning and the number of people it takes to put on these retreats. But a lot of the things they did for us were just so reverent and so encouraging for meditation. And then we had discussions and we had speakers that talked and gave personal testimonial stories. And we can't repeat any of those, of course, because they were all very private. But they were powerful.
Mm. So this would not be a retreat like going and hearing a speaker and then a break and the same speaker and a break.
No. Very different than that, yes.
Yeah. So for my men's retreat, I think one of the things was a great feeling of love that was expressed.
That was the next thing I was going to say, yes.
The men who ran the retreat were actually volunteers, not paid, and there were a lot of them. I think we may have had 30 men in our retreat, and we had almost an equal number of men serving us or helping to lead the retreat. Similar for you?
Yes, and I'm sure that there were some women involved in your retreat in the background areas, and same with us, where it was predominantly women. As team for our retreat, there were men, Acts men, who had to help out too in some ways.
One of the friends that we've recently made, Mike and Cherry, Mike plays music and
guitar.
He is a bass guitar player, and they are just wonderful people who participate in a lot of things to help others grow in their faith. One of the reasons that we enjoy them is our slogan, our little buzzwords for Catholic Vitamins is to nourish faith from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do vitamin M for Mike and vitamin S for Sherry because they really do that.
True.
Well, we're going to take a music break and we'll be back with something else we'd like to talk about.
Here I am. Once again, on my knees, trying to comprehend how you, my God, should come to me. Looks like red and tastes like wine, but with eyes of faith I see the body of Christ. With eyes of faith I see Jesus Christ.
Well, dear listener, the reason that I played that song by Russ Rentler, Bread from Heaven, is because of some sad news that has been evidenced recently when the Pew Research Organization did a study to find out that as many as almost three-quarters of the Catholics believe that the Eucharist is a nice symbol, but that's all that it is a symbol. And, of course, that's terrible that our faith has become so relativized, the faith of some has become so relativized that they see everything in terms of only what they can see and believe. I have been reading about this area. I know many dioceses and some print organizations are trying to begin an effort to remind people about the reality of the Eucharist. I've been just thinking about some things we could share on Catholic Vitamins. I'd like to say a few, maybe Dee will jump in a little bit. These are my suggestions. They're not the mandate of the church. They're not the requirement of the church, but some ideas that I have. In my own faith walk, I've moved from receiving the Eucharist on my hand to receiving it on the tongue. A lot of people feel like, well, don't say that I'm not holy if I don't receive on the tongue. The point is demonstrating a willingness to be reverent about the Eucharist. Some people don't know that they should bow before receiving the Eucharist, or even more profound is if you're able to kneel before receiving the Eucharist. Dee, I know that you came back from that retreat, and all the ladies on the retreat were wearing a mantilla.
We were all gifted with those.
So I've noticed that at Holy Nativity you've been...
I've been wearing it to Holy Nativity. It just feels right there.
Wonderful. So maybe, ladies, I know there are those who have other opinions about this. They think it's about being old-fashioned or subservient to the church or silliness like that. But it's a sign of reverence, and it'll help to elevate.
I think it helps focus, too.
Sure. So I would also recommend, dear friends, that if you have your smartphone, or does anybody use an iPod anymore, Dee?
I just revived mine. I was about to give it away and not, just not use it anymore. But I thought, no, maybe I should. I've got so many podcasts on there. Maybe I should just start listening to them on there again.
All right. So whether it's an iPod or a smartphone or other device, I would encourage you to look for songs about the Eucharist, praise and worship songs about the Eucharist or the Mass, and load those onto your device. Russ Rentler is an example of someone that really understands what we teach and believe in the church.
I actually have some of his songs in my playlist.
Good, good.
And I think that people could ask their pastor to preach more on the Eucharist.
Absolutely.
About the Eucharist.
Good idea, dear. Good idea, yeah. Once a month, maybe, to preach about the Eucharist or include it in a homily. And, two other things. One that should be obvious is to go to adoration. If you have adoration for part of a day or an hour in your parish, please consider going to adoration to be before the Lord Jesus and to tell him of your love and pray for others that they will grow in an understanding of the Eucharist. And, finally, a small thing. I see so many people that are so casual about their dress, sometimes very improper dress, but if people would just dress a little better for the Mass, for the Eucharist, particularly on Sunday. We were just talking about that with someone.
We were. And my feeling is that you should, when you come to church on Sunday, you should be dressed in something that you would not normally be wearing any other day of the week.
Good idea, dear.
You don't dress the same way you do Monday through Friday sort of thing.
All right. Well, that's Tom and Dee with a few ideas about how we could demonstrate reverence for the Mass, reverence for what we believe in the Eucharist. Our giveaway, Dee, we got to wrap up our show. Our giveaway is not a book this time. It is a DVD. It's called Fire and Sword, The Crusades, with Matthew Arnold as the lead. And he's got some special guests, Ed Mazza, who's over at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and Jesse Romero, who is also over at Virgin Most Powerful. And it's a chance for you to watch on your home TV set the truths about the Crusades. A lot of people have been misled about the Crusades. So, dear, I think we should say goodbye. Next show coming up will feature Tony Agnese, God willing, and we look forward to doing that. Dee, do you want to say anything else?
Well, I was hoping we'd have time to for me to read one of Sandy's burnt offerings, but we're running out of time. So I might just share this over to my Facebook page.
All right. Dear friends, thanks for listening to Catholic Vitamins. May the Lord bless you and be more reverent towards the Eucharist.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.